It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are the future prospects for last year's prospects? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P., Joe Pizzapia, and today we have a fantastic show for you. We're going to take a deep dive into last year's 2021 rookie class, and what a class it was. We're going to talk about them as dynasty assets and also in redraft as well. A little buy or sell, take the temperature of where we're at with some of these guys in their sophomore years. Who knows? Maybe some slumps are on the horizon, or maybe we're just scratching the surface of some elite talent that we saw debut in the NFL last year. And I can't think of better people to break it down with than my two friends today, one of which, Andrew Erickson, and the other is, of course, Shane Manila. You know him from Twitter, at Shane is the worst, which I disagree. I think he's great. I love Shane. And of course, you can check out his work at Dynasty Trades HQ, where he hosts the podcast there. He does a lot of dynasty writing as well. So Shane, it is so nice to talk to you again. As we spoke before the show, it's been way too long, and I'm very thrilled to have you on the program today, buddy.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like we're saying, I invited you on the HQ like six times, and you blocked me on Twitter and then changed your number. And, you know, I still wasn't taking the hint, and then I emailed you, and finally I got a cease and desist. But no, man, it's great to talk to you. I can't wait to talk some 2021 rookies.
I'm going to have to take back what I said. You are the worst. That whole thing that I said before, total lies. No, but in all seriousness, Shane is not only a great dynasty mind, but I encourage you to follow him on Twitter because he's great on there. Very entertaining guy. And again, I feel like this is always the best conversations. When you have really smart conversations with folks who know what they're talking about, do their homework, but also have a lot of fun jabs like that. Like as if I would ever block you, Shane Manila. By the way, note to self, block Shane right after the show. Good. Okay. And speaking of exciting things, Andrew Erickson is here today for the first time as a full-time employee at Fantasy Pros, which I cannot be happier about personally. And Andrew is with us all last season, for most of you already know that. But I'm very excited he's coming over and joining us full time. And I thought you were such an incredible asset to the program last year, Andrew. And what an amazing turn of events, right? Just 3 years ago, I think it was, you and I sitting around hanging out at FSGA, having a cocktail, talking about life. And here we are now employed at the same place doing shows together. Isn't life funny, Andrew? Welcome to the team.
Thanks, Joe. I'm really happy to be here full time. We can dedicate all my time, all my research to Fantasy Pros. So I'm really excited to get going, talk about, you know, doing this podcast, obviously, with you guys and just the podcast to come. You know, everything talking about getting excited for the season. You know, I took off last week to kind of try to like reset. And I just got more hungry to, you know, dive into more. And like yesterday on Monday, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like I'm back in it after, you know, taking some time off, and I'm just excited and thrilled.
See, you just need a 3-day weekend. You could tell Andrew doesn't have kids and Shane and I do. We need way more than a 3-day weekend to recharge our batteries. I could tell you that. But that is why I'm so excited to have you here, Andrew, because it's that kind of passion that you displayed to me when I first met you, when I hired you to work on the Black Book. We brought you in last year to be our standing guest here at Fantasy Pros. I can't think of a better fit than you being here on this show every single week with us now. And of course, you're going to be able to check out all of Andrew's writing in Fantasy Pros. Also, follow him on the Twitter machine as well over at @AndrewErickson_, right? Still the underscore at the end? You still got that stupid thing or did you change it yet?
No, it's still got the underscore. The underscore is going strong. I'm going to keep the underscore. I'm also on TikTok as well under the same thing. So, hey.
Oh, okay.
Those millennials, Gen Zs, TikTokers.
Andrew, yeah, you got to stay on brand. That's what you got to do. Go ahead, Shane.
Can I ask you, can you just find the original Andrew Erickson, whoever has that handle, and just tell him that you're more important and big time and you need that handle and he can take your
old one? It's a non-responsive account. @AndrewErickson is not, it's just an egg. It's the egg, like the Twitter shell, and just not responsive. So
mine is actually a semi-famous person, arguably more famous than me. He's a famous guitar player, true story, named Joe Pisapia from the band Guster in the 90s. Shane's probably old enough to remember this band. I don't know if he does, but apparently he's in Nashville. He does like movie soundtracks and all kinds of stuff. So and he absolutely looks like my grandfather, like 100%. We're definitely relatives. Can't get a hold of him no matter what. He's just way more important and famous than me. But what are you going to do? Such is life. But before we get into some of these rookies who are going to be super famous for years to come in the NFL, I want to remind everybody we've got our giveaway over at fantasypros.com/contest. We're giving away a Stefon Diggs autographed helmet thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. So all you have to do is make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. It's the biggest growing YouTube channel in the history of YouTube, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I have the exact number on that, but I'm pretty sure it is. But look, if you haven't already subscribed, all of our draft content's going to be on there. We're going to be doing the draft live again, the way you want to watch it in terms of the fantasy impact. So now is the time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, screenshot that bad boy, and then head over to fantasypros.com/contest so you can get that Stefon Diggs helmet and put it on the mantle or on the desk or just wear it around the house because Stefon Diggs is that good. Also, it's that time of year, too, where maybe you don't know what to do with yourself. You're looking around like Andrew was for 3 straight days trying to figure out what to do without football. Well, I got an idea for you. Join our Discord chat over at fantasypros.com/chat. It is free to join. But remember, when you upgrade to that premium product over at Fantasy Pros and get a premium subscription with us, you have access to dozens of different channels, including those AMAs and the stages, which are so great. The stages is like basically a radio call-in show where you get to talk to us about your team. We have all different analysts on at different times. It is fantastic. I can't tell you enough what a great community we have and people helping each other too, which is even better over at fantasypros.com/chat. So we're going to start things off today with the running backs. And Shane, I want to start with Najee Harris, a bell cow running back, something we all pine for, but now it feels like there's a lot of uncertainty. Uncertainty with the Steelers situation, uncertainty with the quarterback specifically now that Ben Roethlisberger is gone. So I'm going to ask you this. Does this uncertainty right now in the Najee market basically present itself as a great buy low, or is it a sell high because of that uncertainty? What is your temperature here with Najee Harris?
Yeah, the problem with selling high, which you should be able to do based off his stats, right? You should be able to point to those and go, hey, guys, look, he's a monster. I think he was RB2 last year in points per game as a rookie. And yes, he was a 36-year-old rookie, so he's a little older. But everyone's worried. Well, Ben's gone. You know, and it doesn't matter who they get there. He has to be better than Ben, right? He's not going to dump off to Najee Harris 94 times. Like, there's no reason, there's no universe in the world. Well, there's only one universe in the world.
Well, anyway, not if you're a Marvel fan. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Lots of universes. Yeah. So depending on the timeline you're in, but none of them should have Najee Harris getting 94 targets. And I think the timeline that we're going to see in a non-Ben Roethlisberger world is the one where Najee isn't getting 94 targets. But I still think he's going to see a ton of volume in rushing attempts. And even if he falls down to 50 targets, I mean, at worst, what are we talking about? An RB6 next year, RB7 for the next couple years. So if anyone is selling at a discount because they're it's so weird. They're worried because Ben left because Ben was so bad. It's rare that a quarterback is so bad he leaves an offense and somehow it hurts one of the offensive players, but that's where we are. If anybody wants to give a discount on him, go for it. The problem is I've been trying to trade him because I'm scared of running backs. They frighten me. They all get injured. Every week, every one of them is hurt at some point. And the rest of the market in the leagues that I play in, they're kind of the same way. They're like, he's a running back, so you go away. So I think you're going to have to hold on to him until closer to the season when people realize you have to actually start some of these players.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to pose the same question to you about Najee Harris. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, I know the average depth of target or some of those passes were not huge. We know he was a quarterback in decline. You like to tell us every single week. So maybe this is actually sort of a false narrative that's building out there where, oh, the Pittsburgh offense without Ben, oh, woe is all of us. Oh, it's on the decline. Is there a situation where it stays flat at the very least? And as Shane is saying, maybe an RB 6 or 7, maybe that's a terrific value in terms of purchasing shares of Najee Harris in Dynasty right now.
I agree, because he's going to touch the ball 300 plus times. Like, whether it's through targets, whether it's through carries, it doesn't matter who's the quarterback, because he led the NFL in touches last year as a rookie in his first year. And I don't see why that would change with, if anything, they're going to give him the ball more if they have a quarterback that they trust less under center, whether it's Mason Rudolph, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's whoever they end up bringing in, or if they promote from within or they draft somebody. I mean, the volume is going to be there. And like, I know we harp on, oh, this guy's yards after contact per attempt and his explosiveness. It's like, is he touching the ball 300 times or not? Like, that matters so much when it comes to the final standings when you look at these running backs. Like, if I were to tell you, okay, mystery running back 1 is going to touch the ball 300 times, mystery running back 2 will average 4.5 yards per carry, which guy do you want? It's like, you're going to take the guy with the touches, because you know that if you see the ball 300 times, you're like, historically speaking, you're going to finish as a top 6-7 running back almost guaranteed because of the volume. So I don't think that's going away. So yeah, I think it's a buying opportunity. We want rookie running backs on these rookie contracts. Like, this is when they're the best. Like Najee Harris, his second contract, like, who knows if he'll make it that far? We don't know, especially if he's touching the ball this much so early on in his career, also factoring how much usage he got at Alabama. So yeah, I mean, right now, if you are in a, you know, win now mode, it seems kind of weird to trade for a second year rookie as a second year player, but that's the reality with these running backs, is you need to get them young. Like, you don't want the Zeke's of the world, because those guys are depreciating assets. I mean, running backs itself is a depreciating position. So I would be a buyer of Harris.
The volume is king at the end of the day. Let's talk about another running back. Let's talk about Javonte Williams last year, basically splitting carries all season with Melvin Gordon, we all know, but he still got 200 attempts, still had nearly 1,000 yards, had 900 last year, 7 touchdowns. He had 316 receiving yards. Andrew, I'm going to ask you this question. Did you see enough last year in this 50-50 backfield where you're willing to not only buy Javonte Williams, but maybe even pay a premium from what you saw in 2021?
Yes, 100%. I mean, I think I would probably rather have Javonte Williams over Najee Harris at a point where you have Javonte Williams, who's coming in much fresher. He split carries and touches last year. He split touches and carries at the college level. So he has way less tread on his tires than Najee Harris does. And last year, he, despite working in the tandem alongside Melvin Gordon, he was 13th in overall touches. He was RB15 in terms of fantasy points scored, 14.5 touches per game. That's going up. Like, it has nowhere else to go but up, regardless of whoever they sign. They have Mike Boone. Melvin Gordon's not coming back. At least all indications kind of point to that. So, I mean, we got that one glimpse, that one game against the Chiefs where Javonte Williams was the main guy, scored 27 fantasy points against the Chiefs. Like, it's so tantalizing what his upside is. And if you look at it from an efficiency standpoint, now we can kind of compare apples to apples, because we both project Najee and Javonte to be their workhorses. Javonte Williams, 2nd in forced missed tackles, 1st in missed tackles forced per attempt, just like he did at North Carolina. He's a tackle breaking machine. And that's why he's probably going to be more efficient than Najee Harris, despite both offenses having major question marks at quarterback.
Shane, I'm going to put that question to you that Andrew kind of brought up too. Would you rather have Javonte Williams, even if you had to, in a trade, say, pay the premium if you're trying to acquire a running back? Or would you rather have Najee Harris, who probably will come a little bit cheaper, ironically, even though he's already established a higher plateau in his performance in his rookie season?
Yeah, I'm going to take Najee, and that pains me. because
so good. I want to hear why.
He is more volume dependent. Javonte scares me only because this might be who he is. And not to say that he's not, you know, it's great that he's efficient and that it's great that he, you know, he did what he did last year. But going back to college, he's always been a guy that's shared the backfield. Just looking at his college stats, the most rushing attempts he had was 166. And I'm old, like Joe. So I remember there was a guy called Lamar Miller who back in the Miami days, we got, why isn't this guy getting more touches? Like, he is just an efficient monster. And then the Texans agreed with us, signed him, gave him more touches, and he was awful. He was good from a volume standpoint, but his efficiency dropped. So that's my only concern with Javonte, to be quite honest with you. I feel, you know, his cost is already reflecting that no one else is going to be there. So I wonder what's going to happen if someone does sign, maybe not a Melvin Gordon, but maybe someone right below that tier. I just don't want to pay cost for it. I don't want to pay cost for any running back if forced to, if you're making me, because I'm on your show, I will go with Najee because I do, no matter what, I know he is going to see the volume. And if there's any uptick in efficiency and touchdown scoring, I think he could put up a monster year. Where, and then again, not to say that Javonte is bad. It's just.
No, of course. No.
Between the two.
But look, I think Andrew's point too about, you know, the college workloads. I mean, we've seen Saquon Barkley, for instance, right? The guy who had massive college workloads, gets to the NFL, and then it seems like he's burned out. I think that's something we've all got to be very aware of in Dynasty going forward. Like, we would like to see these running backs that have some good stats from college, but when you see these massive numbers in college, I think it's going to be more of a red flag going forward with the way the NFL is built nowadays than anything else. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about DraftKings. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs, 360, windmill, dunk good. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and win $150 in free bets if they win. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still take your shot at a big payday. Everyone can play the huge cash prize games that they have on DraftKings Daily Fantasy Basketball Contest, and DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code FANTASYPROS, bet just $1 on any NBA team, and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code FANTASYPROS as DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or older, and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY to 467-369. And now back to the action. Let's move on to another guy here, Shane. Let's talk about Elijah Mitchell. So Eli Mitchell kind of snuck up on everybody. I know I was in the Trey Sermon camp. That failed miserably. A lot of us were. But, you know, this is a Shanahan offense. And as you mentioned before, you're old like me. So you remember his dad in Denver creating running back after running back every single season that was fantasy worthy. So I'm going to ask you, is this just the latest in another Shanahan disposable running back kind of tier? Or did Eli Mitchell establish himself as the best of this group and perhaps the guy going forward, Shane?
So here's the concern, right? He's injured a lot. Like, I just went back to his high school days, and he didn't even play his full senior season.
Wait, you couldn't get the Pop Warner stats? He could only go to high school?
I was looking. It's annoying. They won't give him, like, the HIPAA law? No, wait, that's not HIPAA. privacy something. My only concern is how often he gets injured. But then, by the same token, every time he got injured last year, they immediately plugged him back in as the starter. Debo got a lot more carries than he should have towards the end of the year, but they kept putting Elijah there. So I have a feeling if they were going to move away from him, they would have tried Trey Sermon, who they really did not like, which really hurts me too, because yes, I was all over Trey Sermon, so much so that I had him in more of my leagues than any other running back, but besides point. And you know, when Jeff Wilson got a couple starts, as soon as Elijah Mitchell came back, they said, no, this is Elijah's role. And, you know, finally around week 15, I gave in and said, you know what, Elijah Mitchell's actually probably pretty good. This is, and then they started throwing him the ball too, right? And they actually started targeting him towards the end of the year. I don't think he's disposable. assuming he doesn't completely break down and fall to pieces.
Hmm. All right, Andrew, I'm going to ask you the same question here about Eli Mitchell. Shane brings up a great point, which was they kept going back to him as the starter every time, no matter how many injuries he had. Is that something to take notice of, or is that just because they just frankly didn't like what they had to choose from?
I think it makes sense to, in terms of where his value stands right now, like everyone knows that. You know, they leaned on him heavily as they went to the playoffs and in the postseason alongside Deebo Samuel. But it is kind of interesting because, you know, what if it was another running back that was getting those Deebo Samuel carries? Like, you know, just change out the positions. Like, oh, well, would we be looking at Elijah Mitchell differently? Because he was like in a split backfield, technically. He just was with a not running back. It was with a wide receiver. So that's kind of something you shouldn't necessarily just overlook because he wasn't seeing all the carries in the backfield. That's not true. Like Deebo Samuel was seeing carries. So, you know, why wasn't it a different running back? I don't know, because they just felt like they got the most from Deebo as an effective rusher, which, I mean, if you watched him play, like, yeah, like it was clear that they should have given the ball to Deebo Samuel to their heart's desire because nobody can stop this guy. But it goes back to the point that Shane brought up about the injuries and the way that Elijah Mitchell and just this offense in general, Elijah Mitchell, 80% of his rushing yards came after contact. Like, he's not going to run away and make force missed tackles with elusiveness. Like, he's going to run you over. He's going to embrace contact. Like, the system just inherently creates with the outside zone with Kyle Shanahan. Like, these guys get hurt. And you just look at all these running backs since Kyle Shanahan got to the San Francisco 49ers, the best one for fantasy has never been the one drafted first because the guy that gets drafted first always gets hurt. Like that's really been the pattern. And, you know, it was Raheem Mostert the last 2 years, and it was Mitchell, then it was Jeff Wilson. Before that, Tevin Coleman was the guy we drafted. It was Matt Breida that got drafted. And then that was the year Raheem Mostert had the most points. And before that, Jerick McKinnon was a guy that we were trying to gravitate towards. Then he got hurt. And then it was Matt Breida who scored the most points.
I think you're proving by Shanahan factory theory.
Maybe
just now by rattling off all those names.
I'm thinking Shanahan's injuring these guys to depress their value. Because this is just, you know, like the first three guys, it's coincidence. When it's every running back that's ever played for you has some type of injury, I don't know, man. Someone should look into that.
I think, too, because he's not afraid to play guys that are undersized. I mean, Elijah Mitchell is 5'10", 200 pounds. Like, he's not this massive running back like a Najee Harris, who at 225, like, yeah, like that guy can handle 300 touches. Najee Harris didn't miss a snap until he banged up his elbow towards the end of the season. Like, Elijah Mitchell, like you mentioned, got hurt last year. So if he's going to see a similar workload, like, I would not be surprised at all to see him miss time. And yes, right now, it doesn't look like there's really anyone else that's going to compete with him. Do they give Trey Sermon another shot? Maybe. But they wouldn't probably potentially add another running back. I think that they do. You have some free agents. Jeff Wilson is a free agent. Raheem Mostert is a free agent. If they don't bring those guys back, you could see them adding another veteran, maybe another Tevin Coleman reunion. Good Lord, please, no.
No, but don't say things like that.
It'd be Devontae Freeman.
Of all? Yeah, there you go. Well, let me put it to you this way. From the tone I'm getting, is this the time to get out on Eli Mitchell? Yes or no, Andrew?
Yeah, I would say the thing I look at is peak value. If you got him, you got him in the third round as a rookie pick last year. So you're not going to go broke making a profit. Like, you can flip him for way more than that, and you can just be done and be like, look, I got the 49ers running back that was really productive. I just don't necessarily trust the system. And it's like right now, like, you don't want to be holding running backs, like as Shane has kind of talked about, like, because running backs right now just get hurt. Like that's what happens. And then you have some of these other guys step up and become the starting running backs. Like Darrell Henderson gained a lot of value during the last offseason because Cam Akers got hurt, not because anything Darrell Henderson did, but it's because the starter got hurt in front of him. So Elijah Mitchell right now is pegged as the starter, has that value. But anything else that kind of transpires, it's not going to increase his value until he gets back on the field, which could also coincide with an injury.
Shane, did you have something to say? It sounded like you were looking at...
I was just annoyed by the Henderson didn't do anything. Henderson, it was because of his excellent college work, and that was in our minds, and we remembered. And we said, someday. And then Akers went down.
And then they traded for Sony Michelle.
Yeah, and well, that that hurt a little bit. But us Hendo truthers, we knew that he would eventually get hurt and lose the job.
All right, let's go to a running back that got hurt before the season even started. Let's talk about Travis Etienne, the forgotten man. Andrew, I'm going to start with you on this one. So you're in an interesting point here because now you have a whole different regime here coming in. You know, different head coach. This is not the people who drafted him. This is a big time draft capital on a running back. And goodness knows, we'll never know exactly what would have worked out here with this situation. But let's talk about Travis Etienne. Is this a perfect time to buy in Dynasty just for the sheer reason of it's worth speculating on a running back. It's a second year. He was hurt last year, and basically the stock has fallen so low. Or do you stay away, Andrew, because you don't know what he's going to be in this offense or in the NFL because you just haven't seen it yet?
No, I 100% want to buy all day, every day, Travis Etienne. Because, yes, we don't have any statistics to kind of glean on for him besides the fact of what he did at the college level. But the other things, all the surrounding factors, look, I think this offense can improve with Doug Peterson implementing a higher pace of play. I think that he has first round draft capital, which matters when it comes to how often a running back is used. And Trent Baalke is still there. Like, he drafted Travis Etienne, so he's still technically in the picture. And Doug Peterson is obviously aware of, when he was going to Jacksonville, okay, who do they have on the roster? Trevor Lawrence. He has built-in chemistry with the quarterback. Like, a big thing with Trevor Lawrence is making sure he feels comfortable. Who do you think he wants on third downs and pass protection? A guy that did it to him for two full seasons at Clemson in Travis Etienne. And then the biggest thing that I just don't think that people are talking about, everyone cares about Cam Akers' Achilles injury, which he's recovered from and he's back and he's playing, is James Robinson suffered an Achilles injury on December 26th. Like, he's not going to be there when they're installing the offense, this new offense. Like, he's going to be rehabbing. Like, it's going to be Etienne out there. So I think that this is a perfect time to buy a running back that we could easily see making the jump into the second round or third round, or even the first round, depending on how good or how much this offense can improve. I think the only thing holding him back is just the general offensive efficiency. But I think from a volume standpoint, I think that Etienne is definitely the favorite to lead the Jaguars backfield. And he has the pass catching. Like, that's super key. Like, you know, why DeAndre Swift was able to thrive in Detroit last year is because he caught passes out of the backfield. Like, there's not so many established pass catchers where Trevor Lawrence is going to shy away from trying to dump the ball down to one of his favorite receivers at the college level.
Yeah, I was going to say, after an illustrious college career together, I was buying in a lot of early drafts on Travis Etienne. It did not work out, Shane. But is this a great time to be buying in? Because right now, as Andrew just laid out, guy who can catch the ball, guy with a good college career, a running back that, you know, we all were pretty high on last year, and now it's just another year into it. But sometimes people sour very quickly. Do you think people should be taking advantage of that quick sour on Travis Etienne?
So the best time to buy would have been immediately after he injured his foot, like in camp. Okay. Like, you should send photos to your friends, like, trade them to me, or non-friends, whoever you play with. I don't know who you play with, ex-friends, ex-wives, whatever. Just send it to them and then made the trade. But now's a good time too. And to Andrew's point, man, I was listening to the pass catching, and all I keep thinking about is 176. They had 176 targets to Laviska Shenault, who has proven to be very bad over 2 years of football. I'm sorry. Tavon Austin and Jamal Agnew. What? And these are all the types of targets that Etienne, I don't know why I got fancy with his name there, but these are the types of targets that Etienne is going to eat up. Like, he's not just a dump down guy. He's actually a decent receiver out of the backfield. And I could easily see him getting 100 targets because, again, like our Andrew said, even if they sign two wide receivers, okay, now they have two good wide receivers. You know what I mean? Like, if they sign no wide receivers or draft a guy, those guys are still going to have to integrate into the offense. Like, Marvin Jones is an excellent wide receiver for your offense at this point. He should not be the leading target getter. If they bring back DJ Chark, I love that for Etienne even more. Honestly, they could bring over Juju Smith-Schuster. They could bring over Davante Adams, and I'm still going to love Etienne there. I was just looking at his college stats because you forget how good he was in college because it has been a long time.
You know, it hasn't been that long. It's 2 years, for God's sake.
2 years is forever. 78 touchdowns in college.
Oh, he was so good in college, and good with Lawrence. It's built in there. The confidence is built in. Exactly. Yeah, another good point there. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. If you are looking for the greatest NFL, MLB, NBA, it doesn't matter what sport you love, because Pristine Auction has the greatest swag you're ever going to find. And we're talking about autographed helmets, jerseys, posters, anything you could possibly imagine. Pristine Auction has got it, and it can be yours, and you can start bidding today for free on any of that stuff just by signing up. And when you sign up with the promo code FANTASYPROS, then you get a $5 credit on us as well. What could be better than that? Here's $5 free. Start bidding on something amazing, and you can put it in your man cave, your she shed. You can give it away as a gift, or you can just gift it to yourself. But you got to get involved and start bidding today at Pristine Auction. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E STINE auction.com. Once again, that's pristineauction.com. Everything there is authentic and backed by their certification of authenticity, and there's stuff there that's affordable too. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to put a smile on your face. So go to pristineauction.com today, sign up with the promo code Fantasy Pros, take that $5 credit, and start bidding on some incredible items today. Again, that's pristineauction.com. And now back to the action. All right, let's talk about the last running back on our list here today is Michael Carter. And I think there's a general perception out there, Shane, that Michael Carter's a good investment. But I'm going to ask you this. Is there anything that the Jets can do this offseason to make you think that maybe it could be better than good? Could it be very good, potentially? And is Michael Carter more valuable than the perceived value that's out there currently? Because the Jets are the Jets historically. But what are your thoughts on Carter in dynasty leagues?
So I like the Carter saw an uptick in targets, right? That's really what we want from running backs. Like when we talk about touches, all we want is targets, like, and then them keep the running back designation. What they could do is not draft a running back until the seventh round or at all. Because any running back they draft before what fifth round, I'm going to go, or fourth round, excuse me. Any running back they draft in the fourth round or before, I can go, oh no, that's where they drafted Carter. They must not like Carter. If they just sign one of these free agent running backs, Royce Freeman, someone like that, I'll feel great. I'll be like, okay, this is Carter's show. Get some offensive line help. I don't like Carter. Didn't like Carter at all last year, and I'll put that out there. But he's definitely a guy I'm buying now because I know the rest of the market still doesn't like him, and he proved me wrong. Like, he looked a lot better. Like, even just the eye test, I was like, all right, this guy's better than I thought he was. And statistically, he was better than I thought he would be. So I just need the Jets not to draft a running back before the fifth round, okay? Or even if it is in the fourth round, I don't know what pick it is, but it can't be 402 because then I can at least tell myself it's later for it than they drafted Carter.
Andrew, is it simple for you too? Like, don't draft a running back, draft offensive line, and all of a sudden Michael Carter as an asset is more valuable in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had his value is going to fluctuate significantly in situations like that. Like, I'm really looking more for guys that have static value. Like, I don't want to buy a player then just see it sink with him doing absolutely nothing on the field. Like, so that's what gets me concerned about, like, going to buy a Michael Carter when right now he is the established running back one in the New York Jets offense. Like, that's what we all know. And we're all just kind of waiting with bated breath. Like, all right, can he survive free agency? Can he survive the draft? And like, in just like kind of going back to some of these guys we're talking about last year where we're like, oh, like Myles Gaskin, he survived. Like, thank you. And it's for what? Like, eventually he just like fizzled out and it was like, oh, now what's Myles Gaskin's value? Like, poof, it's not much. So that's my concern about like trying to be aggressive on Michael Carter. I know that we talked about his receptions totals and his targets, but those were really heavily inflated by the two games that he played or the several games he played with Mike White. Mike check down King White. like he didn't have more than three targets in any of the games he played with Zach Wilson. So there is a little bit of question mark about, okay, how much does this offense really feature throwing the ball to the running back? And he only had one RB. His best finish with Zach Wilson was RB 17. He had three top 13 finishes with Mike White under center. And it's not because Mike White is this savant quarterback. It's because Mike White was peppering him with check downs. Like, literally no one would stop him. And that's just not part of Zach Wilson's game. Zach Wilson is trying to move the ball down the field. Like, he's a big armed quarterback that can make plays. So that's what he's trying to do. I mean, when Tevin Coleman was active, I mean, it kept Michael Carter in check for the most part. Michael Carter was still kind of like the 1A, but I just don't know if we're ever going to really see him really be, again, kind of bring it back to the Javonte Williams. Like, Michael Carter was not a bell cow at the college level either. He's always been a guy working in a committee. So just another reason to that, I'm just hesitant to buy in on Michael Carter, because I think at the end of the day, when we open the season, there's going to be another guy there, and it's going to be a 1A, 1B situation on, look, a Jets offense that all in all is probably going to be uninspiring.
So he's like a welfare Javonte Williams, like a deeply discounted, like, you know what I mean? Like, high-end Javonte Williams is running back one. High-end for Michael Carter is like back-end running back two, maybe mid running back two. But yeah, just on the cost, but I think most people think like you, like, I don't like him. I don't want him. Get him off my roster. So if I can oblige without giving up too much capital, I will.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I would also say in redraft leagues, Carter and Travis Etienne, considering how early I'm going to be hitting wide receiver most likely in first rounds, and also the hero running back strategy, and then looking for some later running back talent. I feel like Etienne and Carter are two guys that I would be circling and saying, yeah, I could live with these guys in on my team in certain roles if I've built in redraft that really heavy floor slash ceiling early with those big time wide receivers. Speaking of which, some guy named Ja'Marr Chase had a pretty good year. Let's talk about him. Andrew Erickson, I'll start with you in this. You know who the quarterback is. You've seen the ceiling of Ja'Marr Chase. He's a wide receiver. They typically age a bit better than running back. So I'll ask you this. Is Ja'Marr Chase the most valuable skill player right now in Dynasty?
I mean, for what you're going to have to pay, probably. I don't see what other player, like maybe Jonathan Taylor. But, you know, if you're the Ja'Marr Chase owner, why are you like, what are you going to move him for? I mean, I wish I had more Ja'Marr Chase in Dynasty, and I would like to know what kind of offers would make the deal get done. But I mean, you're going to have to pay King's ransom to get Ja'Marr Chase, and I think that it's warranted. I mean, the guy is not even 22 years, like he's 22 years old, and he just had the best rookie wide receiver season ever. And he's attached to his college quarterback who he's only had success with. And he took all of last year off. and we saw, you know, Justin Jefferson progress in his second year. So it's not, you know, crazy to think, yeah, there was a little bit of a lull in Chase's game. You know, if you look at last year during the regular season, he actually finished worse than wide receiver 20 in half of his games, 56%. But that's not something I'm willing to tie myself to, like, oh, well, this is why you need to get rid of Ja'Marr Chase because he's inconsistent. It's like, yeah, well, he was also a rookie. And when he was booming, like he was winning weeks for you. And there's no reason to think that he can't become more consistent. Like he didn't lead the team in target share. It was T. Higgins. So what if that reverses? Like there is a scenario where Chase actually gets better in year two. So, I mean, yeah, if you can buy him, like, oh yeah, like sign me up. I just don't know what you have to pay your arm, your leg, your entire roster to get him on your team.
All right. Shane, I'm going to pose the question to you. Dynasty startup right now, 1-1 pick is yours. Is Chase the guy?
It's definitely Chase or Jefferson. I'm assuming one quarterback leagues, right?
Well, how do you separate those two? Because obviously let's say it's not a super flex. Correct. Nope. Let's take that out of the equation. If it's super flex, it's the Allens and the Mahomes and the guys like that. I think we all know that. But if it's not a super flex dynasty startup, Jefferson right now with Kirk Cousins or Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow, that seems like an easy choice to me. Feels like Burrow's not going anywhere. And Kirk Cousins, every year we have the same conversation. Is he going to be back? Okay, he's back this year. Let's see what happens. I don't know if you want to play that game with Jefferson.
Yeah, and that's probably what's going to differentiate them is because it's not the age. What, 2 years at 23 years old really doesn't matter. Production, they're both monsters. It is going to be the fact that, all right, Kirk Cousins, and one of these years it's going to be correct. One of these years, he's actually going to leave Minnesota after everybody wishing it for the last decade. And then we're going to go, oh, Kellen Mond's throwing the Jefferson.
Oh, like, 100%. They're all going to go, oh, you don't know what you have till it's gone sometimes at quarterback.
And then, you know, and then it's a good time to trade for Jefferson because elite wide receivers will still stay elite. It's just hope he won't be, you know, he won't be Ja'Marr Chase. So I guess, yeah, I'd have to take Ja'Marr Chase because I'm definitely not taking a running back. So it's not going to be Jonathan Taylor. It's got to be Chase. Plus, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, that's Jefferson. A good answer too.
They're so good.
At the end of the day,
they're so good. They really, what you want is the second pick, so I don't even have to choose. I feel like I'm going wrong either way. You know,
not me. I want the one. I want Chase. I want to lock in that. I know the quarterback and the wide receiver. I know what they're going to be for the next 5 years, or at least theoretically, barring injuries, because obviously, injury is something we can't.
One more year with Kirk Cousins for Justin Jefferson, he might have a 2,000 yard receiving season, and then all bets are off no matter who his quarterback is. It could be Brock Osweiler, and we'll be like, nope, he'll be fine, he will be a-okay.
That guy's still getting paid somewhere. I don't know how much, but a lot. He just made $1 million right while you were talking. Sure, Brock Osweiler. So
Paxton Lynch just got cut by his CFL team yesterday, by the way, so he can apply. So he can be in the USFL.
Lucky for him, the XFL, USFL are all gearing up right now. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 for an entire year for your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS, and no matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Let's talk about Jalen Waddle, Shane. Waddle had a tremendous year. This was my favorite value in terms of rookie wide receiver on the board last year. I had all the shares of Jalen Waddle. Everybody knows I'm a huge fan. So I'm going to ask you this. Huge floor that he set up in terms of benchmark for our expectations going into 2022. Can he live up to that? And is there potentially maybe a Debo-esque kind of role for him with the new head coach coming over from San Francisco, or maybe they find some other creative ways to get him the football, especially since that backfield, you could say, was uninspiring many, many times last year. So what are your thoughts on Jalen Waddle's value potentially being a Debo-esque character in 22?
Do you have friends in the Miami backfield? Is that why you said uninspiring instead of bad?
No, I like to look. You're the worst. We've already established that. I try my best unless it gets to a real conversation where I lose my mind about something. And then when I lose my mind about it, then it really matters when I go nuts on a player that I don't like or a situation I don't like. But yes, they were uninspiring with more sarcasm, most likely than anything.
Okay, good. Yeah. See, sometimes I'm dense and don't get that. Yeah, they were trash. I don't want to see Jalen Waddle with a run straight up the middle. And the thing about Mike McDaniel is he's creative. He's not just redundant. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to do just what they did in San Francisco and go, well, he's versatile, so I'm going to run this guy up the middle and he's going to be Debo part two. But they will use him in jet sweeps and things like that, and reverses, and maybe some zone up the middle. And then maybe on some deeper passes too, which is what I'm really looking forward to get those air yards up so he could hit some big plays like he did in college. I'm super excited to see what they're going to do with Jalen Waddle. Because last year it just felt like he had a ton of targets, but it felt like he was Jarvis Landry. And he's not Jarvis Landry. He's a much better athlete. So I can't wait to see what that's going to be this year, whether that's, 40 rushing attempts, 50 rushing attempts, and they're all sweeps. Just don't run him up the middle. Don't get him hurt, please.
All right. Do you see the same potential future, Andrew, for Jalen Waddle?
I mean, he's probably going to get like a billion targets, like the way that they just used him last year, with Tua under center. You had 22% target share, 24% target rate per route run, both top 20 marks, broke the receptions record for a rookie wide receiver. So, I mean, Mike McDaniel's already talking about him in like fantasy circles, like, oh, you're going to want Jalen Waddle. So yeah, he's going to touch the ball a lot. And ultimately, the way that I see it is it's either going to, if this offense can improve, like efficiency wise, if Tua can take a step, then we can see Waddle like be a legitimate top five wide receiver. But if the offense just stalls and it's just kind of like more empty calorie volume, kind of like Shane was alluding to, then it's like, you're going to kind of be I rank this guy as a top 12 wide receiver. He didn't necessarily bring me that, obviously the volume is great, but as I've talked about on several podcasts kind of leading up to this one and several articles I've written is that I don't like to buy just volume. Like I like to buy efficiency on guys on good offenses. I know everyone's going to be like Mike McDaniel, like he's going to fix Tua. We think every coach is going to fix every quarterback that has problems, and it doesn't always happen. So I think that maybe I'll be a little bit underweight on him and potentially redraft. But again, in Dynasty, what if Miami lands Deshaun Watson eventually? Like, what if that ends up happening? Then it's like, boom. I would also like to see Waddle use more downfield. He had a bottom 10 average depth of target last year. So hopefully Mike McDonald can integrate him more downfield because we know he can make splash plays as a vertical threat.
All right, let's talk about Elijah Moore here. I got to ask you this question because we saw some flashes of Elijah Moore that were really tantalizing Erickson. And I'm going to ask you this question here. Did those flashes of brilliance outweigh the time that he wasn't on the field enough for you to want to make an investment? Because I'm sure right now someone who's sitting there who has Elijah Moore goes, wow, there's a lot of potential here. But if you offer them something potentially that is very solid already, maybe you can pry him away and who knows, maybe reap the rewards. What are your thoughts on Elijah Moore? Is he a buy or sell for you in Dynasty?
For me, I mean, he's going to be a buy for me. I liked him a lot coming out of Ole Miss. You know, he was super productive in the SEC. And, you know, before he missed the final five games, I mean, he had a super high target rate per route run, 13th highest in the NFL. So when he was on the field, he was commanding targets, whether it was Zach Wilson, whether it was Josh Johnson, whether it was Mike, the check down King White, it didn't matter who it was under center. He was getting it done. And I just like that he was able to do that, you know, even amid, you know, such inconsistent quarterback play. Now, I mentioned that I don't necessarily always love chasing after these target receivers with bad offenses. So there is some hesitation with Elijah Moore, but especially from a redraft perspective, because if Zach Wilson just, you know, ends up following the Sam Darnold route because the Jets can't protect him with their offensive line, they just run into more issues, then Elijah Moore is always going to have, you know, a capped ceiling. But I think in the long term, I mean, he showed his rookie year that he is an elite talent. So that's what I'm obviously going to always be trying to buy the talent in the dynasty form as opposed to redraft, where you need to factor in the actual situation more. And right now it's really not great. Like Zach Wilson was, in my opinion, the worst of the rookie quarterbacks from last year. And he's the one that I'm least hopeful of actually taking that next step. So obviously I need to have some reservations with Elijah Moore because of that, because Zach Wilson is his quarterback.
All right, Shane, the big takeaway I had from Andrew's discussion just now was, when he missed that time in college at the end of the year, and now I'm looking at his rookie season and all the games he missed here, at the end of the day, is this an asset that could potentially be one of these guys that always is a tease, always gives you, man, look how good he is on the field when he's on the field? Is this the opportunity maybe to get out from under that? Is this a trend, basically, is my question.
I mean, if you can flip him for a 2023 first and something, sure. But if someone wants to give you a 2022 pick, not so much. I'll hold. Because even Andrew said, even if, you know, Zach Wilson is as bad as everyone thinks he is, or as bad as he looked last year, he'll be gone after this year. Like the days of waiting on a quarterback, you know, for 6 years to get better, teams have shown that they're like, we're not doing this anymore. Like, we got a top five pick again. Yeah, let's try it again. We're going to reroll the dice and get another quarterback, and hopefully he's not awful. I'm not too concerned about the injuries, only because you can't predict them, right? Like at wide receiver, if it was a running back, I'd be like, well, this guy is fragile and he's always, you know, it's a little more of a high impact position. I'm not going to be too concerned with injury time on him. I mean, he was really an elite prospect coming out, like breakout age and college target share and his dominator rating and all that stuff that you just love. And then, you know, he almost hit the 20% threshold you want to see as a rookie. And targets, he had 25% targets on route run. I like him a lot. I do, and this, I get burned by DJ Moore, right? DJ Moore is the guy that keeps burning me, because I kept projecting a ceiling that hasn't happened yet. And instead, it's kind of been like this, you know, and it's not bad. It's just 1,100 yards every year, 1,100 yards every year.
And four touchdowns,
which should be impossible. So I do get a little worried when players are tied to a quarterback like, you know, Zach, that, you know, I can't just say, well, eventually they'll get a better quarterback, because then DJ Moore, they show me like, no, we won't. We will continue getting the same bad quarterback. So there's a little trepidation there. So it's going to depend on cost. You know what I mean? Like if someone's more worried than I am, definitely trading for him. He's a guy that I have targeted in a lot of my leagues because I'm hoping that, because he didn't play, you know, he didn't play all the games last year, and that his counting stats aren't eye popping because of that, that, you know, maybe somebody will be like, oh, he's in the same boat as Terrace Marshall. And you're like, no, he's not, sir. Or ma'am.
All right. Devontae Smith. A lot of questions going into the NFL about the frame. We've seen him now for a year. Can he win at the NFL level? Shane, I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think about Devontae Smith going into 2022?
Yes, I was definitely concerned about his frame. And just in case you can't tell from this awful accent, I am from Philadelphia. So I did watch a lot of Devontae Smith. His frame doesn't bother me because he gets open on every single route. It's just that simple. Like the dude just washes people. Like he's that good of a technician. And he's always open. I'd be more concerned the fact that his quarterback can't seem to hit him. But that's a topic for another day. His frame, not a concern at all. It was a concern coming in. He wasn't Tutu Atwell small, Like that's just ridiculous. Like you shouldn't legally be allowed to play football at that weight. But I was concerned about his frame, but after getting to watch him for a year, you know, playing in the NFC East, a tough division, seeing actual games, like, you know, at no point was I like, oh my God, they killed Devontae. His frame is fine. And it's unfortunate. Hopefully Jalen Hurts improves because he's got wide receiver one potential inside him. I don't know if he ever hits it, but he's definitely got it in him.
Erickson, do you see that potential living in Smith as well?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the metrics that he was able to post last year, 10th in air yard share overall during the 21 season, like he was the alpha of that passing offense. Just the offense from a passing perspective is just not that enthralling. It's not exciting with Jalen Hurts under center and because of how run heavy the offense is. I know that we don't like to come and talk about team philosophies in the offseason necessarily because so many things change, but it's like the Eagles want to run the football. Like that's when they're most effective, especially when Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Now, I think that he'll be the quarterback at least this year in 2022. Will it be the same way in 2023? Like, I don't know. But in those types of scenarios, it's like you want to buy Devontae Smith because he plays in a run heavy offense now, like now, but that could change. And when it changes, he's going to be the number one receiver in the Philadelphia Eagles offense and he's going to be productive. So you're kind of, you have to be patient, but in a dynasty format, like that's what you, the name of the game. Like you're not necessarily worried about just this year. Worried about years past. And if they do change their quarterback, oh, now they get this, you know, prolific passer, like Devontae Smith's value is going to skyrocket because he's going to be the alpha in that offense. So I think that he's definitely a guy you want to buy based on the situation because that's what makes him attainable. Because you're like, oh, like they run the ball too much. It's like, boom, that's exactly why you should go buy him.
Yeah, all right, two more wide receivers. Oh, go ahead, Shane.
No, I was going to say Andrew's point is spot on. Like, especially in Dynasty, you want to buy but thinking of what the best outcome is going to be of that.
Right.
Because either if Hurts you wait till afterwards,
or you bring in somebody better, potentially. Right. It's funny. I don't think the bringing in someone better is going to be a thing for the next couple of years. Just the way the quarterbacks are all arranged.
Hurts can improve that, right? He had 3.7 touchdown rate, which was really bad last year, throwings. And then he had rushed for 10 touchdowns, which is really high, obviously first in the league. And he did improve, although he still made a lot of mistakes. He did improve accuracy wise. It not great. Like it's not like he made a Josh Allen leap, but he got better. And if he continually gets a little better, and that run offense isn't as strong, it's really hard to run for 175 straight yards in like seven straight games or whatever they did ridiculous last year. Hopefully we're against the Eagles. Hopefully some run defenses can stop them this year. And maybe Devonta could see maybe give me 140 targets. I'm not greedy, just 140.
Just a little bit more. Yeah. All right, let's get to Rashad Bateman, somebody that, from a talent perspective, I was very excited about. Andrew, does Lamar have that next gear in him as a passer? I know we've had this discussion previously on shows. I think when Derek Brown was on last week, we talked about that with Pat Fitzmaurice, and we were kind of split on this, but I haven't gotten your take on it yet. So can Lamar take a step forward, and is Bateman part of that progression of him as a passer at the NFL level? Can it all come together in 22, and is this the time to buy him?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, we're talking about Devonta Smith's quarterback, Elijah Moore's quarterback, Jalen Waddle's quarterback having question marks, and when then we land on the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, I'm like, thank you. Like, please, finally, a guy that can get the ball down the field, a former MVP quarterback, like, yes, 100%. Like, I think Rashad Bateman can take a major step forward with Lamar Jackson, and honestly, it would not surprise me at all to see Rashad Bateman supplant Marquise Brown. Like Marquise Brown, we've seen enough of Marquise Brown where he's not a true, you know, alpha wide receiver. Like he's not a number one guy. Yes, he can play a role on an offense. Yes, he can win down the field. But when you look at what the offense looked like the last 5 weeks, at least from a usage standpoint, obviously Lamar Jackson wasn't playing. You know, Rashad Bateman was playing a full-time role. The last game of the season, he ran just as many routes as Marquise Brown. And despite the fact that he had seen 18 fewer targets than Marquise Brown, Bateman had more receiving yards. Like he was the more efficient receiver. So when the Ravens are looking at their offense and be like, we need to get the ball to Rashad Bateman more. Like Marquise Brown had so many targets last year and he left us wanting more. And it's like teams don't just continue to pepper guys with targets when they don't produce. Like they're going to look for other ways to get the ball. Obviously Mark Andrews is going to get his because he's productive with his targets. Marquise Brown was not. So I think that Rashad Bateman is a screaming value and Marquise Brown just being there is making him easy to obtain. So I love Rashad Bateman. I think that he's a guy I want in redraft and in dynasty.
Shane, how about you? Do you think Bateman is that guy that you want in redraft and dynasty?
Yeah, so just looking at what he did with Jackson last year, he had a 20% market share, target share when Jackson was in there. That's perfect as a rookie. Like, that's spot on. Thank you. That's beautiful. It'll be interesting to see if Mark Andrews sees a kabillion targets when Tyler Huntley's not playing as well. And yet, it saddens me to say that Marquise Brown is what he is, right? But after you get 3 years of data and he kind of does the same thing. Sure. Like, yeah, he's a good wide receiver. He'll never be a legitimate wide receiver one. He'll give you weeks where you go, I think he can do it. But no, Bateman was, like you said, you were a big fan of his coming out of college. I think everybody was, right? Because at least I hope they were, because his college production profile was spot on. It was perfect. His athletic profile was just good enough. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't knocking people's socks off, but it was good enough where he should be a hit. And I think Lamar Jackson's fine as a passer. I know the narrative's out there that we love to trash his passing skills, but his passing's only bad in comparison to how good of a runner he is. And how good of a runner he is maybe the best running quarterback that's ever played football, except for old people like me, Randall Cunningham. I'm fine with Lamar Jackson. And if he's the number one wide receiver for Lamar Jackson, look, I see a path to 125 targets, and I see a path to, with efficiency, low end wide receiver one numbers here and there, but more likely a wide receiver two, which is fine. You know, I'll take that.
All right. Last one here. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Was it because Hockenson was out that he went on this prolific run of catching ball after ball for the last few weeks of the season? Or is that just Amon-Ra St. Brown balling out, Shane?
No, it wasn't just because of Hockenson. It was also because Swift wasn't playing.
Boy, you set me up on that one, buddy. You sure did.
I mean, I am the guy it's funny too, because I loved Amon-Ra St. Brown in college, but in college, he just kept being the same guy every year. Like, you're like, all right, this is year he's going to break out. And you're like, nope, didn't happen. I don't want to belittle him, because he did something that players like Jalen Reagor never did. They were given an opportunity and pooped all over themselves. He went out there and said, look, I'm the only one here. Like, you could throw to Tyrell Williams if you want, but there's me. Problem with that is, though, Hockenson wasn't there and Swift wasn't there, and they need another wide receiver. I was looking at his share. He got a 13% target share when the other two were playing, when Hockenson and Swift were playing. Hockenson was at 20 and Swift was at 19. They add another receiver to that mix. I can't see Amon-Ra St. Brown breaking out like he did last year. Fortunately, I don't think a lot of the market thinks he's that guy either. So it's going to be easy to bet against that and just go, all right, well, I'll give you a late second out of this terrible class for him and see what happens, because he's done it once, right? So indicators are that he will again. I am very concerned, though, that it was mostly that Hockenson and Swift weren't there.
Andrew, how about for you? Same thing. Was it just a matter of he was so good because he was the last man standing? Or did you see enough where, again, maybe you're just buying into him based on the fact that, you know, you did see a guy who was incredibly reliable for a pretty good stretch of the season there?
Yeah, I mean, even when he did play in some games with Hockenson and Swift, weeks 4 through 6, he had a 22% target share. And a lot of the other games, he just wasn't playing a full-time role. Like, he wasn't a starter. Like, he was playing behind Khalif Raymond. So of course, like, some of his numbers are a little fabricated with those other guys. But, I mean, he got to wide receiver 3, you know, during that stretch, because those guys weren't there. Now, no one is valuing him as the, you know, wide receiver 3, but I think that the fact that this guy put up the top 5 performance, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of, like, remember that Higbee run we had? It's like, oh my God, Higbee could be the tight end 1. It's like, yeah, he did. It's like, yes, but, like, it was such a particular circumstance that's probably never going to happen again. Like, it's probably not going to ever present itself like that. And when in cases like that, you're looking at, okay, can I sell this guy at peak value? And you're looking at how the Lions approach the offseason. Like Shane said, they have 5 picks inside the top 101. They have 13th in salary cap space. So they're going to probably add a wide receiver. You know, Hockenson is going to be coming back from his injury. And from, like, a redraft perspective, if you just blindly tell me, hey, you want to spend a top 50 pick on Jared Goff's number one wide receiver, I'm just like, I think I'm okay. Like, I don't think I need to do that to myself. And I think it ultimately comes, like, if you don't draft Amon-Ra St. Brown, I don't think that's going to kill you. And if you trade him, I don't think that you're going to get, you know, oh my God, this was the worst mistake I ever made. Just because I don't think that he's necessarily going to take over as an alpha. I mean, he's a slot receiver. Like, I don't think he's going to take over as an alpha. And if you look at what he did in college, like, his best year was his first year. And then he never took that step forward. So is he just doing it again at the NFL level? Breaks out as a, you know, a rookie, you know, a freshman, quote unquote, and then he just kind of like doesn't get better. So that's the concern.
All right, let's switch gears here and talk about the quarterbacks. Andrew, I'm going to keep this rapid fire for both of you guys here. Can Trey Lance live up to the expectations? I feel like the longer we wait on Trey Lance, we had to wait a whole season with him not playing, and then we had to wait, obviously, most of this year with him not playing too much. Are we creating this beast that he can't live up to be, or is Trey Lance really this guy that we think is going to take the world by storm in 2022 in the fantasy world?
I think we're right. I think the fantasy community is right about Trey Lance because of the rushing and the offense he plays in. You know, fantasy community, we sometimes mess up on things, but sometimes we all do come together. I know that. I think we were all cumulatively on the Chris Godwin thing when that happened a couple of years ago.
We were, yeah.
And even like Calvin Ridley to an extent. So I think Trey Lance, I mean, it's just all the signs are pointing to this guy, you know, being a prolific fantasy option in a really good inducive environment for fantasy scoring. So yeah, I like Trey Lance. Yeah.
Shane, same feelings for you?
Yeah, same. You got a quarterback that can run the ball 10 times for 90 yards in a game. Sign me up.
And he's got a big arm too. All right. Yep. How about Justin Fields? Towards the stretch around the season, we started to see some improvement, incremental improvement, but improvement nonetheless, another athletic quarterback. Do you believe with this new head coach, clean slate here, that Justin Fields can finish and be a QB1 in dynasty leagues that people drafted him thinking they were going to be getting?
Yes, I do. Matt Nagy, was that terrible? Matt Nagy called, was it 10.5% of their plays were from the RPO last year. And Justin Fields ranked 31st in play action passes. 31st. Now, and I looked at it, I go, well, he didn't start every game. He started 10 games, 4.8. Let's just compare that to Josh Allen, who, you know, different monster, obviously. 10.5 a game led the league. Like, what are you doing, Matt Nagy? You're awful. So, Matt Eflus, I'm still not sure he's a real person. He can't be this bad as Nagy. They're going to do better. I'm all in on Fields again. The rushing ability, I love it. And the arm.
Say, yeah, well, I'm in too. I think this is actually the perfect time to buy for anybody who is a little concerned or doesn't like the fact that now it's okay, it's another playbook, another coach, another OC. Sometimes we've seen quarterbacks, you know, those young quarterbacks, they go through the shuffle of guys, Andrew, and they don't come out the better for it. There's reason to be concerned, but are you concerned about Fields?
I mean, a little bit. I wish they brought in an offensive-minded head coach, but it can't be perfect. That's reflected in Fields' price. Like, he's cheaper than Trey Lance, even though that Fields has finished as a top 12 quarterback in fantasy the last four full games he played because of he's averaging 56 rushing yards per game. So, you know, the environment is much worse for Fields than Lance. You know, he has Darnell Mooney and, like, Cole Kmet, like, in an offensive line that's, like, patchworked. So there are things he has to overcome, but I mean, when these guys were coming out, I thought Fields was the better prospect. I thought he was the better quarterback. So that's kind of why I also, you know, believe in him as well.
All right, Andrew, is this the last chance to buy low on a generational talent that is Trevor Lawrence, or is Trevor Lawrence overhyped?
No, I think that this is the perfect time. You know, this draft class, you know, didn't deliver the high expectations, but that doesn't mean they can't ever deliver. Like, they all just weren't, you know, they're okay as rookies. It's like, what did they all take a major step for? We see guys take major steps as sophomores all the time. And I mean, look, Trevor Lawrence had the worst situation you could ever ask for a quarterback, you know, no support whatsoever from management. He lost his number one pick, you know, in Travis Etienne really early on in the season. And, you know, amid it all in that last final game, like, he finally showed us what he could do. Like, I think that week 18 game, in a game that they did not need to win at all, the Colts are playing for their playoff lives, Trevor Lawrence is like, know what? We're going to beat you guys. And they did. And I think that honestly matters a lot, that he was able to do that and really be productive in that game. Cause he showed you, like, no, this guy, this is why he was the number one pick locked in for like so many years, is because he can do things like that. So they get him more weapons around him, a coach that just isn't a buffoon. I think he's going to be in good shape.
Shane, same deal for you?
Yeah, great point, man. I think sometimes in the abstract, we've realized, like, oh, bad coaching is bad for players, right? But we don't realize, like, how bad, like, Urban Meyer, like, affected this. Like, he didn't even know who was on the field half the time. He didn't understand. He didn't know his running back rotations. He didn't know anything. So can I believe that would have affected Lawrence adversely? Yes. he was too good of a college prospect. You know what I mean? From the time he entered college, like we were hearing about this kid when he was 18 years old before he even played a college game. He's too good. I'll buy in right now. And then if I'm wrong, well, life will go on, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong.
All right, let's go to the next one here on the board. Let's talk about Mac Jones. Shane, can Mac Jones make improvements even if they don't add a weapon or two? No, he can't. You don't like the Mac Jones, or are you just angry?
Is that No, that's Mac Jones. That's who he is. He's going to be, pretty good. He's going to be, an excellent QB too.
Well, he was pretty good without a lot of help there. If you give him a little bit more help, could he be better than that?
I mean, yeah, but who are they going to get him? They're getting Michael Thomas and Juju Smith-Schuster.
It would be an improvement.
If they do that.
Maybe not Juju, but Thomas would be.
If they do that, I can believe in him as a low end QB one.
All right. Andrew, outside of what about you?
Half.
Yeah, no, I think that makes the most sense. Like, he's going to go as far as the offense allows him to go. Like, if they decide to give him more opportunities to throw the football to more playmakers, then yeah, I think Mac Jones can deliver because he was efficient last year. PFF's 10th highest graded quarterback on first and second down, 13th from a clean pocket, 18th passing at the intermediate level. So he's checking off all the boxes you want. Just look, is the offense going to open up? Like, that's ultimately what kind of has to happen. Does the Patriots defense regress? Do they play in more shootouts? So I think that Mac Jones, at least from like a dynasty standpoint, you feel good about having him as an asset because he looks like someone that's going to be locked into the Patriots role for a long time. So whether he's not necessarily a difference maker, if he can carve out a Kirk Cousins like fantasy career where he like finishes every year QB 10 to QB 12, you're absolutely loving that in a two quarterback league where you're like, I just play Mac Jones every single week in my second quarterback slot and I feel great about it.
All right, Andrew, last one here. Zach Wilson of the Jets, do you believe that just some addressing of the offensive line and a second year in the NFL is enough to say, well, this is a quarterback that I can believe in, maybe has a ceiling of a low-end QB1 potentially in Dynasty, or do you think he is doomed to forever toil with the Jets as a QB2?
I mean, just like from a numbers game, you know, chances are that all the quarterbacks in 2021 can't, you know, fire. So Wilson, for me, is kind of the guy that stands out as the guy that probably won't end up turning around. And it has a lot to do with the situation. It's like, we see this all the time. Like, he's got these kids that play in perfect situations. Zach Wilson coming from BYU, the best offensive line in the country.
Right.
And he lands in New York. And it's like, sorry, man, like, you're running for your life. And what have the Jets shown us that they can put together a competent offensive line? Like, Sam Darnold is still running for his life on a different team. Nevertheless, you know, bad offensive line, just follow that guy around. So you look at the thing with Zach Wilson last year, his passer rating dipped the longer he held the ball. So what is that telling us? Okay, if Berrios or Elijah Moore is not open on that, you know, crossing route or that hitch, it's like just bad things are going to happen as he's going through his reads.
Right, the turnovers
like
he's not
progressing the way that he hoped that he would. So yeah, can he take a step forward in year two? Like maybe, but we say that we always try to look at some of these second year quarterbacks with rose-colored glasses. I was like that with Tua last year. I know injuries kind of happened with him, but he didn't take a step forward, and I have concerns about Tua. So, yeah, Zach Wilson, I'm probably going to be out on for the most part.
Shane, do you have those concerns about Wilson, too, that maybe there isn't that gear in him?
I didn't like him coming out of college. I just didn't like his archetype.
Me neither.
The guy that was bad his entire college career has one good year, and now all of a sudden he's an elite quarterback. I'm like, I don't see that, especially against, I know it's bringing up old history, but he played in a terrible conference against terrible defenses. Like, the NFL is not that. And the fact that, would you say his completion percentage drops the longer he holds the ball?
It was his passer rating. His passer rating dropped. Yeah.
So the more time he has to think, the worse he does, which is a little scary. It's a little scary. That's not what I want from my processor out on the field. So I was never in on Wilson. If I can get him cheap, someone wants to throw him in, sure. But I'm not actively going out of my way to get him.
Here's a question for you. Would you sell Wilson right now for a shot at any of the quarterbacks coming into the league this year, whether it be a Willis, whether it be a Corral, any of those guys? Do you see more potentially in them in Dynasty than you do in what Wilson is? But maybe that's appealing to some people who think, well, Wilson's second year, obviously progression, right? Well, maybe not, obviously. Would you rather have the new guys or Wilson?
Willis would be a slam dunk. I don't even think you have to think about that, right? Like that just being an auto.
Willis probably. What about Corral or Pickett? I guess those are more the
Pickett.
The range we're
talking about. Because someone's going to draft him in the first, even with his tiny little baby hands. And then even if I don't believe in him, I can re-roll him. Probably Karell Toth. I think he's going to go in the first. Any of those guys that I think are going to go in the first round of this draft, I'm fine with that and just re-rolling it, because even if I don't believe in them, I'll just re-roll them immediately to another position.
All right, so let's go to the tight end position here. Kyle Pitts, probably most likely already in Dynasty Leagues, the tight end one. This was a conversation I believe Andrew and I were having not too long ago on the program. Shane, should Kyle Pitts be the tight end one target in redraft due next year?
How could he not be? I'm just curious.
Well, a lot of people want to put Andrews. A lot of people want to put Kelsey. I don't feel like Andrew and I are. I think Andrew's slowly coming to my craziness of Kyle Pitts is the number one tight end. People just don't realize it right now. So what do you think?
I love Andrews. Always have, always will. But his targets were a little inflated last year. Kyle Pitts had one touchdown last year on 110 targets. Like, that's nearly impossible.
You could do that if you tried.
I know. Like, I checked the math, and I'm like, wait, is this – he scored a touchdown.
DJ Moore doesn't 9%? Even do that. DJ Moore at least scores four touchdowns.
DJ Moore 4Xs, but
– and makes fun of him. And yeah, that's incredible. So he had a 20% market target share as a tight end. Like, I don't care who they bring in. Like, he's going to see touchdown regression. Like, even if he gets to 5 touchdowns, congratulations. He's going to be a top 3 tight end next year with just 5 touchdowns. He's just unguardable. Like, I know Mike Thomas is what can't guard Mike, but he needs to give up that handle and just give it to Kyle Pitts and we can't guard Kyle, because he can't be guarded and he runs more than slants. So I love Pitts. No reason not to be the tight end one.
It's very nice to hear. Andrew, have you come to this realization yet too? Or is he number 2 for you? Where you have him right now?
I got to move him up. That's the answer to it. I don't know where. I think he might be at like 4. And that's just
see,
wrong.
We've
like,
bullied him into it.
I got to move him up.
Oh, come on. You can't have him at 4. 2 maybe, but 4.
4
come
is
on,
egregious.
Let's go.
Yeah, hey, I said I was going to change it. So.
All right, last one here, since with the love fest of Kyle Pitts, that's already put away. Pat Freiermuth obviously had the ear of Ben Roethlisberger and the arm of Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the football quite a bit. Andrew, do you still love Toe-Tap Pat without Ben Roethlisberger? Do you think it's just, hey, Freiermuth is a great tight end, would have gotten a lot more publicity had he not been in the same draft as the generational talent of Kyle Pitts, and we should be believing in him? Is this a chance to buy, potentially? Or are you a little hesitant because you don't know Mason Rudolph, could be Garoppolo, who knows who the quarterback of the Steelers is going to be, and it's too much to invest in? Where are you at with Freiermuth?
Yeah, I hate over-investing in these these situations with quarterback where I don't know what's going to happen. Like, so Deontay Johnson is going to be fine. Najee Harris is going to be fine. Pat Fry, like, not all these guys are probably going to be fine. Like, someone is not going to deliver on their ADP because if the quarterback then ends up taking over, because it could be Mason Rudolph. Like, that is still in play, and that is terrifying to even think of. You look at Freiermuth last year.
Something's gone horribly wrong, I feel like, if that ends up being the case.
You look at Freiermuth last year, so we're talking about touchdowns, right? So he had half of the yards that Pitts had. He had 6 more touchdowns than Pitts did at 7. So if those touchdowns go away, then I'm concerned about Freiermuth. And I know from like a redraft perspective, he is being drafted in that like middle range of tight end. I think he's at like tight end 9, tight end 10. And that's where I just don't draft tight ends, because they never ever either reach expectations of like a top 3 guy, and they end up just producing like guys you get at like tight end 15, 16, 17. And if we're just kind of chasing last year's numbers, I know he's a talented player, but you got to look at the situation. Like, if he's not scoring as many touchdowns, then he's not going to be as good, and he's not going to be worth necessarily going after. I think I might look to buy him after a down year, which I could see happen in his second season.
All right. So Shane, do you wait, buy him after a down year, or buy now on the uncertainty?
No, not buying now. Just like Andrew said, 7 touchdowns on 79 targets. Like, come on. No, that's not happening again. And the community loves him. Like, they absolutely love him. Like, they're ready to move him up into tight end, like top 5. And I'm like, guys, like, what are we doing?
He's a likable guy too. He's a football player. You know, he's one of those kind of dudes. I get that.
I get it. But like, I don't want to base, you know, player who I'm drafting off likable guys, because then I'd be drafting Juju as my 101 wide receiver and be severely sad.
Well, you would be the last pick of the draft. I could tell you right now.
Yeah. So now, I'll let him come back to earth and touchdown scoring. And what's going to be funny is he's going to increase in yards. He's going to probably hit 700 yards and have 3 touchdowns. And everyone's going to be like, he was terrible this year. And you're going to be like, you don't understand math, people. You just don't.
There you have it, folks. A recap of the 2021 rookie class and our expectations for them in 2022 in the Dynasty world, and a little bit of redraft discussion as well. You can follow our guest on the Twitter machine at Shane Manila, at Shane is the worst. Obviously, that's the Twitter handle. Shane is the worst. And check out the pod at Dynasty Trades HQ. And of course, follow our friend Andrew Erickson, our newest member of the Fantasy Pro staff here. That's right. Full-timer Andrew Erickson at @AndrewErickson_, and check out all of his work. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time and your insights, as always. Also, want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved for that Stefon Diggs helmet. Autographed helmet can be yours thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros and join the discussion over on Discord, fantasypros.com/chat right now. Involve yourself with the greatest community you'll ever find in fantasy football, all the ones that love Pat Freiermuth, as the boys were talking about. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Bet just $1 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets when they win. That's promo code FANTASYPROS at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Also, don't forget about Pristine Auction, the coolest place to get all of your merch, all your swag, all your memorabilia. Again, that's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com, and use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get $5 on us before you start bidding. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is a protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Shane and Andrew, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.